5.3. Findings 5.3.1. Choice and control. The first key finding of the monitoring report related to choice and control, as it appeared to underpin most, if not all, of interviewee experiences. Within the context of housing, choice and control primarily relates to Articles 4, 5, 9, 14, and 19 of the UNCRPD, and was demonstrated by the limited choices interviewees felt they had when accessing adequate housing, and the lack of control they had over their living situations. This was exemplified by standout case studies, an interviewee living in a group home, a young interviewee living in a retirement home, an interviewee with a degenerative condition who had recently invested in a new build, and an interviewee who was homeless. Through their stories, each interviewee outlined the significant challenges they had faced when attempting to access adequate housing, and the very real impact that having little to no choice or control over where they lived and who they lived with had had on their well-being and quality of life. 5.3.2. Access. The next finding explored access in relation to housing, and Articles 4, 5, 8, 9, 14, 17, 19, and 28 of the UNCRPD included in this theme was the discrimination interviewees faced when accessing the housing market, when implementing accessibility measures within their homes, and when accessing information and justice. For example, interviewees reported significant barriers when trying to access the housing market as tenants or as buyers, with many citing negative attitudes towards disability held by landlords, agents, and other people in positions of power, as the main cause. Begin quote, M. What do you think the biggest barrier to adequate housing is? I. Definitely attitude, end quote, interview number 47. For some, the ongoing nature of these challenges led to the deterioration of their physical and psychosocial health. For others, these challenges had forced them into inadequate living situations and even homelessness. Affordability was also considered a major barrier to adequate housing, which many interviewees associated with the lack of accessibility features within and around the home. For example, some interviewees were not eligible for funding for the modifications they felt they needed, nor could they afford them themselves. Affordable rent and rising house prices were also identified as barriers to adequate housing and living situations that met their basic needs. Finally, a lack of access to information and justice systems were reported by interviewees who felt limited by complicated and inaccessible legal documents, the effort required to engage with justice systems, and the fear of retribution from landlords if they did decide to take legal action. For example, one interviewee feared they would lose their home if they raised a maintenance issue with their landlord, begin quote, so, I had a leak above a light for quite a period of time at which he, landlord, refused to fix. But I felt so vulnerable at the time that if I did make a complaint, I would lose my home. End quote, interview number 18. 5.3.3. Belonging. The next collection of findings were collated under the theme of belonging, and included homeliness, rhythms and routines, and community connection. As a finding, belonging primarily related to the preamble of the UNCRPD, as well as Articles 9, 15, 16, 19, 26, and 28. Homeliness began by looking at how a home is created, including where and how it is set up, and whether home is an environment where interviewees felt comfortable, relaxed, and enjoyed spending their time. Several interviewees reported that they enjoyed being at home, noting that home was where they were forced to spend most of their time as a result of their disability. However, a number of interviewees also mentioned the size of their home, damp, cold, mold and inaccessibility as factors that contributed to the sense that they did not belong. Moreover, a large number of interviewees indicated that because their home was inaccessible, they could not safely participate in standard activities in and around the home, such as cooking, cleaning and gardening, again, contributing to the sense of not belonging. The next aspect of belonging looked at the relationships interviewees had with the people they lived with, their neighbors, the wider community and online communities. Within this finding, there was a noticeable difference between interviewees who had positive relationships with their community and those who did not. Positive relationships were associated with adequate access in and around the home, as well as in the wider community, a space where relationships are traditionally forged. Those who reported a low sense of belonging also experienced financial barriers that meant they were unable to choose where they lived, who they lived next to, and who they lived with. This had a direct impact on interviewees' sense of belonging, leading to feelings of insecurity and isolation. Begin quote, "A lot of the Housing New Zealand apartments are people who would be turned down for housing anywhere else. So not your ideal neighbors. A lot of stealing, a lot of drugs, that sort of thing. Just to be surrounded by that, I don't like being around it." End quote. Interview number 45. As highlighted in this quote, for many of the interviewees living in Housing New Zealand communities, their lack of belonging often reflected the negative relationships they had with neighbouring Housing New Zealand tenants. Finally, several interviewees noted the positive impact of online communities on their sense of belonging. However, this observation was often followed by comments about the cost of internet as being a barrier to participation. 5.3.4. Safety. The third key finding was safety, which included both physical and psychological safety. This finding primarily related to Article 3 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, UDHR, as well as the preamble of the UNCRPD and Articles 11, 14, 17, 25 and 28. Unsurprisingly, safety was strongly linked to adequate housing. For example, physical safety was associated with access, modifications, heating, and maintenance. Psychological safety correlated with physical safety, location, access, choice, and control. Of the 61 interviews, 13 interviewees indicated their homes were cold, and over half of the interviewees, 33, reported hazards within and around their home. Interviewees were quick to link cold homes to the cost of power, which reflected income barriers, relating to Article 28 of the UNCRPD, ensuring an adequate standard of living. Compromised physical and mental health were reported as byproducts of living in cold homes, relating to Articles 25, Health, and 17, Integrity. For example, several interviewees resorted to turning their heaters off and going without basic necessities in order to afford their electricity bills. Begin quote, "So, I go without food every winter, I go without food to pay my electricity costs." End quote. Interview number 15. In addition to the cold, damp, and mold, many interviewees reported hazards in and around the home that they felt were a risk to their health and safety. Hazards included entrance and exits of buildings, indoor and outdoor steps and stairs, inaccessible kitchens and cupboards, slippery and problematic bathroom layouts, and overcrowding. When discussing the reasons behind why such hazards exist, many interviewees put it down to the lack of responsiveness and responsibility taken by landlords and housing agents, particularly when interviewees made requests for maintenance. While this is a challenge for many New Zealanders, reference to floors, 2019, interviewee experiences indicated that unfixed hazards are even more problematic for marginalised populations, such as disabled people. Emergencies, situations of risk and evacuation were also of concern for some of the interviewees, many of whom had no way to exit their homes in an emergency. Begin quote, "So, I've had a fire drill, two fire drills and a genuine fire alarm where each time I have sat in my apartment and not a single person has come here." End quote. Interview number 39. This finding was raised by several interviewees, ranging from wheelchair users who were unable to evacuate in an emergency to deaf interviewees who required visual fire alarms to alert them of smoke and fire. The other aspect of safety was psychological safety, which was often linked to stress, anxiety and depression, both as a barrier to finding adequate housing, and as a consequence of living in inadequate housing. Again, This was often associated with the affordability, adequacy, and location of houses. A further reason for distress was caused by the lack of consistency around lease agreements, with many interviewees being forced to accept short-term leases, knowing that the landlord could increase the price with each new agreement, or decide not to renew the lease at all. Begin quote, like, the fact that I can't have a long-term tenancy agreement just constantly puts me on edge and I never know from one year to the next whether or not I'm still going to still have my home. End quote. Interview number 18. The lack of psychological safety interviewees felt in relation to their housing situation, which has been mentioned in several contexts and findings, was indicative of a real and perceived power imbalance between themselves and people in positions of power, including landlords, housing agents, and WINS and Housing New Zealand staff. 5.3.5. Awareness of rights. The fifth and final group of findings related to interviewees' awareness of their rights under the UNCRPD, and in particular Articles 2, 8, 9, 19 and 28. In order to investigate awareness, monitors began by asking interviewees if they had heard of the UNCRPD and Universal Design. Even though this research is dedicated to monitoring the progressive realization of the UNCRPD, of the interviewees who answered these questions, 29 had not heard of the UNCRPD and 33 did not know what Universal Design was. Monitors then read aloud two relevant UNCRPD articles and asked the interviewees to reflect on what the articles meant to them personally. The first article was Article 19, which states that all disabled people have an equal right to live in the community with choices equal to others. Interviewee reflections were focused on choice and control, safety, and not being discriminated against on the basis of disability. The second article that interviewees were asked to think about in relation to housing was Article 28, which holds that the Government of New Zealand must recognise the right of disabled people to an adequate standard of living. Interviewees reflected on subjects such as design, access, safety, warmth, and choice and control. Even though many interviewees had not heard of Universal Design or the UNCRPD, after reflecting on Articles 19 and 28, they demonstrated a clear understanding of the treatment they believed they were entitled to. Having established key housing-related rights, interviewees were then asked if the Government of New Zealand is making sure disabled people are not discriminated against in the housing and rental markets. The consensus was a resounding no. The Government of New Zealand is not doing enough. Finally, interviewees were asked what they think needs to change in order for the UNCRPD to have an impact on their housing situation. Recommendations provided by the interviewees called for the Government of New Zealand to acknowledge the impact of the housing crisis on disabled people, increase the awareness of disability through education, consultation, advocacy, and face-to-face engagement, improve domestic laws and ensure stronger enforcement, update the building code to include private property, incentivize the implementation of universal design standards, employ disabled people in relevant housing positions, increase resources for disabled people when accessing adequate housing, draw on and promote examples of best practice.